Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Priskintos.
We come to you once a week from the studios of KHOI Community Radio in downtown Ames. We talk about food, farming, advice, recipes, and opinions. We gather around our kitchen table and have a really nice time. Thanks for joining us today. Today on the Donalana Kitchen, we're going to talk about summer fruit.
Oh, yum.
And we had, Donna and I had a cherry experience, and Donna has a brand new recipe book to share. So, cherries, sour cherries in particular to start out with. Donna and I both have a sour cherry tree. Sour cherry trees are pretty easy, well, easy to grow, as in sour cherries grow well in this area. And some years they really produce a lot, and Donna had a great crop this year.
How does your tree look?
Well, we got some. And our cherry tree has been there for, it's 15, 18 years old. It's kind of moving on.
Yeah, mine is a young one.
Yeah, yours is.
It's just old enough to start really seriously producing.
Just great stuff. Donna and I did a bit of research on the best way to pit cherries, and This is a big deal. This is from the Donalana Kitchen Archives from June 2017. Cherries are wonderful, but they have this aspect to them that one must deal with. They come with pits. They come with little stones in the middle. Okay, let's talk about getting those little suckers pitted, okay?
Oh, boy. Well, there's the old unfurl the paper clip and poke them through one by one.
Ugh.
Yeah.
That takes forever. You get kind of sticky doing that.
Yeah.
We practiced with some variations on a theme this weekend, putting a pop bottle or a beer bottle and balancing the cherry on top, glass one, mm-hmm. and poking through with a straw. He says, yeah, it works just fine. The seed drops into the bottle. The cherry, unless it's teeny tiny, stays on top. But that's one of those.
And the juice goes dribbling all the way down the bottle.
And the juice goes dribbling all the way down the bottle. That's one of those that it's one at a time. And you need a lot of cherries for a cherry pie.
Well, you know, we've gotten modern and impatient, I'm afraid, right?
Yes, we did.
So Lana and I each brought our cherry pitters into the studio here. And we need television for this, but we're going to try our best to describe these experiences. So my cherry pitter, and I must say I'm not a prolific cherry pitter for obvious reasons. Okay, I found it at the Wilson Auction in Colo, where often I'm the only person buying these culinary antiques, let's say. So, you know, this one says New Standard Mount Joy, Pennsylvania, and it's a contraption made out of cast aluminum, and it's from the period where they still had those green wooden handles on everything. So I'm guessing it's got to be, maybe 75 to 100 years. It's old. But this is what, hear that noise? I'm cranking the handle. So it has a little sort of cup kind of thing, and you put the, apparently it's angled so that, you know, let's see, I could put maybe 15 cherries on it, right? Oh, boy. Let's line it up, Lana, and see what happens. Oh, wait a minute. We need two containers. Okay. All right. So it has a little thing. You turn the handle, and let's see. Okay. Here we go. It presses down. Ooh, it's working, Lana.
It picks up a cherry.
Yeah, it has a little sharp thing that has it's like a four-pointed star, so it pierces the cherry. Oh, wait, I'm going backwards. It pierces the cherry, it pushes the pits out, and then as it draws up, the cherry spits off into the bowl. Oh, Lana, let's see how fast it will go. Oops, uh-oh. I've already... All right, this pit is not... Oh, shoot, that one went on the floor. Okay. All right. It's working. Whoops. Lana, they're jumping off the... Oops, come on.
I think in the history of cherry pitters, okay. This is the problem. It goes all over the place.
Well, but you know what? I've had other old ones that are messier than this one, I have to say. This is relatively, efficient. Okay, so I just pitted maybe 10 cherries, okay?
Not counting the three that hit the floor.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
Good job.
I have cherry juice all over my dress. And then there's two more on the floor. Okay, now Lana has a more newfangled contraption.
We wanted to see what was the latest in cherry pitters. I mean, there had to be something between pop bottle with a straw. And these old ones are great. They look like Rube Goldberg contraptions.
Yeah, I could live with this one if I had to.
It's okay. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. Because nothing's worse than biting into a cherry pit in a pie. You still may get a cherry pit. I talked to the fine folks at Cook's Emporium and said, what's the latest?
What is the latest? We have been relying on Marg lately quite a bit.
What's the latest in cherry pit technology? And there is a company called Victorio, and they make a lot of kitchen products, a lot of nice kitchen products. The inventors at Victorio evidently took the old technology and moved it one notch ahead because it's plastic, for one thing. It's really heavy-duty plastic. One nice thing about it, it's gotten one of these suction cups that sucks it right to the counter. Good job.
Mine is clamped to the counter. Yeah.
They've also worked out the little tray, and you can, you don't have to do one at a time, but...
All right, I'm going to take mine off. We're going to try Lana's.
All right.
Wait till you hear. Wait, Lana, you better do this because lots of sound effects today,
folks. I didn't
do it.
One of the strange things about this is that you do have to follow the directions. It's got, not many parts, but it does have parts.
Oops. Is this the kind where you have to spit on the bottom to make the suction stick? Yeah. Oh, it's a little. All right.
This one has a little pit pocket already.
Oh, the container underneath it.
However,
okay.
It doesn't have many parts at all, and of course it came with directions, but it's real easy when you put it together to forget one of the parts. So even with this nice new cherry pitter, I ended up with a mess a couple times until I decided to go back and read the directions.
Yeah,
here we go.
Follow the directions. Okay.
So here we go.
Okay. One. Oh, it's, oops. Okay. Same problem as mine. The container that slants them in, you still have to use your fingers. Okay. You know what? Actually, the principle of it is not too different. It has the same. Oh, look at Lana, the cutter blade.
Mm-hmm. Same thing.
Same.
A little
T-shape. Four-point thing.
So technology does come to our rescue. Yes, it does.
Oh, I like this one.
Yeah, it is nice. It does suck. Yeah, it sucks to my kind.
That sure beats the poking them one at a time.
Yeah, so the concept of one at a time, at least we have.
Plus, none of them jumped out of the tray, and none of them got on my dress. Okay, 5 stars out of 5 for the Victorio.
Very good, Victorio.
All right.
And like I said, they make other sort of handy kitchen things.
Oh, yeah, I think I have some. I have their grain mill. Oh, mm-hmm. And of course, the apple corer. That's famous.
Another fruit thing.
Yeah.
Good. It says on the
apple peeler.
Information from the Victoria people that the company is out in Utah someplace. So it's a sort of a semi-American thing.
Yeah.
Well, we don't know where they outsource things, but that's where they say it is. So there it is. Okay. That's good. So how to get the pits out? Oh, my goodness. Oh, yes.
Worth it. That's all I can say. It's worth
people it. People do like their cherry pies.
We mentioned they're good for you.
Oh, talk about how good they are.
Okay. Well, they truly are, of course, like many fruits, but even more than some. They are loaded with antioxidants. They are good for gout.
Gout!
Gout!
Do we have gout yet? What's gout?
It's something where your feet swell.
Is it like
or something?
Arthritis? Maybe something.
No, it's different from arthritis. But apparently cherries are good for all sorts of inflammation. In fact, I noticed the last time I was in California, I was at a Whole Foods store and they were selling tart cherry juice strictly as a supplement, a dietary supplement for its medicinal uses. We'll have more on that later.
Cherries are good for you. Well, that was a little bit of our sordid history with cherry pitters, but every time it comes around this year, we have to get out the cherry pitters again. Donna, I can't believe we actually did that in the studio many years ago because it was a mess.
Well, so this last week, Lana's husband, Joe, picked the cherries, and then Lana and I set up two of the modern fangled things, which we had borrowed from Helen Gunderson. Thank you very much. So we suctioned them to my kitchen table, and we went through all of the ones that Joe had picked. So we have some in the freezer, and I used some to make cherry ice cream. And then I had to go around afterwards with a sponge. It was like Jackson Pollock hit the kitchen wall.
Yeah.
It was spattered everywhere. And if you want to see a picture, we took a picture of Lana spattered in cherry juice, and cherry juice dribbled all over my kitchen table, and it is on the Donna Lana Kitchen Facebook page.
Whoa, boy, are we ever. Just something you want to spend your time looking at. But
it was an inspirational event.
Well, actually, we do learn from our mistakes, and I wore a old white work shirt that got all speckled, so I didn't get on my clothes too badly, but it didn't save Donna's table and her wall. We did
well, but
have
no,
to clean
but it.
It
washed off, and I put on an old one of my father's old undershirts, and then, of course, when you wash it, this cherry, they change color, but they're still there. It does not wash out.
Yeah.
I mean, there's probably some tricks, but you'd have to work at it.
Well, I put a bit of bleach in mine.
Of course.
I am not averse to putting a little bleach in a work shirt, so there it was.
Cherries do stain, and they are messy, but as we say, they're worth it.
Yeah, but this new cherry pitter technology, there's a glimmer of hope for those of us who like cherries.
Well, and of course, now we have to make that distinction. If you're going to run out to the local supermarket and buy cherries, let me tell you that they probably are not pie cherries. They're probably eating cherries, which are also called sweet cherries. Those are the kind that you see, both the red and yellow ones and the dark ones. And those are the kinds that usually they have in the supermarket because they have a reasonably long shelf life, and that's what people like to eat. So to have a cherry pie, tart cherry adventure, you either have to have your own tree or know someone that does or find a U-pick or otherwise there's probably canned. Mm-hmm. These are not easy to come by.
But they are good.
I do remember when I lived in California for a long time, you could not get tart cherries. It was one of the things that I really, really missed.
As I recall, when I was planting my cherry tree low many years ago, sour cherry trees tend to do a little better in northern climates.
Right.
So there it is. Although cherries pretty much, there are places that have cherry festivals, and actually those are up in
Michigan
and Wisconsin.
Michigan.
And those are sweet cherries too, but the kind that you can actually grow in your yard. Sour cherries are sort of one of those plants.
Last few years, there have been in the sort of dried fruit section of some stores, sour cherries that you can use for you know, baking with, which are really, really wonderful. But I think most of them were being, there was a story. I don't know that it's true. This is a rumor. They were coming mostly from Turkey, and they were so reasonably priced that someone, and I can't remember who, and, you know, don't quote me on this because this is just somewhere in my memory banks, but the story I was told was that the Turkish industry, which was rather large, was selling them very cheaply to try to undercut the American domestic dried cherry market, which wouldn't be hard to do because it's not very large, and they are expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't seen so many dried cherries in the market in the last few years. Yeah. But
there we go.
Anyway.
Agribusiness on a big scale.
Oh, global.
Even for cherries. So, besides cherry pies, Donna, what did you do with your cherries?
Oh, well, I made what I'm calling a very cherry ice cream. You know, I love making ice creams. And, it's also when you make your own jelly or anything that you make yourself, because in a processing, you know, commercial application, the fruit is much more expensive than the sugar. So to keep prices consumer friendly, most manufactured ice creams or jellies for that matter, or, you know, jams or whatever, use less fruit and more sugar. So when one is making it at home, now you can follow those kinds of recipes, but I really like to cut back on the sugar and up the fruit. So you're getting a really strong fruit forward flavor. So I made what I called a very cherry ice cream. And I did it just by making the first thing you have to do is pit the sour cherries, right? And you must make sure all the pits are out. So, you know, kind of once you've pitted them, you got to go through them visually. You got to run your fingers through it. I actually ended up doing, and you have to cook them. So I cook them with, you can either put a little bit of water in, not too much. You don't want to make too much liquid from them because cherries are pretty juicy anyway. My recipe calls for 3 cups of pitted cherries. So we're talking a good amount. And you end up with, 1.25 quarts of ice cream, maybe something like that. So what I did was I cooked them down. And then to make sure I had all the pits out, I ran them through my little ricer thing that I was so old I got it from my mother, the cone with the wooden thing.
Yeah.
Because that way, so you end up with pulp, and then I was able to pick through, and yes, I did find like 4 cherry pits. Well, you don't want those cherry pits in your ice cream machine, believe me, for one thing. So anyway, you end up with a cooked mixture of just cherry juice and cherries. And you can use all of the pulp, or you can just whatever you put through the ricer. When I trialed the recipe a second time, I put it through the ricer, and then I actually took the remaining pulp out and picked the pits out with my fingers. And I have to say, Lana, the cherries that we pitted that night had fewer pits. We did pretty well.
Yes.
Anyway, and then I used a hand immersion blender to really, because I didn't want to throw any of that bit of cherry away except the pit, right? So I had little flecks of cherry in my ice cream. So, okay, 3 cups of cherries that have been cooked in either, you can cheat if you want. I bought at the local natural food store, a small bottle of tart cherry juice.
Oh.
So I actually added that as the liquid when I cooked them. So this was 3 cups of pitted cherries and 1/2 cup of tart cherry juice. And then I cooked that down, you know, and then I ran it and blended it until I got this just really soft fruit puree. Okay. Then in another pan, I took 2.5 tablespoons, that's not teaspoons, tablespoons of tapioca starch, or also known as tapioca flour. You can also use cornstarch. I use that as a thickener. You can use the traditional one that, you know, uses eggs and you cook it down. What you're looking for is a thick custardy or soft custard to make the, you know, go in the ice cream. So I mixed the sugar and the tapioca, and then I added 4 cups of 1/2 and 1/2. Now you can vary the milk. You want 1 quart altogether. You can use, I just bought 1/2 and 1/2, but you can use more cream, or if you want it to be less fattening, you can use less cream. You know, that depends on your taste. So then you mix the milk and the sugar and if you've mixed the tapioca flour and the sugar together, they won't clump when you put the cream in, right? So then you keep whisking that up and let it come to a boil until it's really nice and thick. you know, don't let it boil away, but, and you have to keep stirring. You're making a pudding. Then I added, I always put a little pepper in my fruits, right? So just a few cranks of fresh dark pepper, a half teaspoon of salt, and I add almond extract is traditional for cherries. Now, yeah. I saw some recipes that put lemon. I'm thinking, nah, almond extract, but go easy. You want it as a very sub note. You don't want to eat the cherries and go, oh, almond. No, almond extract in a tiny, tiny bit. I think I started with like an eighth of a teaspoon, and that might, you know, go easy on your almond extract. But I put those things into the custard. Then once the custard was cooked, I whipped in the cooked cherry mixture. So they were all mixed together. Then I set it in the fridge to cool it. And then once it was chilled, you know, then that takes a while. Then I put it in my ice cream freezer and boom, boom, boom. And then it came out a beautiful dark pink, you know, none of this pastel pale. This is very cherry and everybody loved it. You can, I did use 3/4 cup of sugar. You can use less if you want it even more tart, or more if your sweet tooth is really accustomed to more. But it was really good.
Yeah, as ice cream, it was lovely. I mean, fruit makes wonderful sorbets, but the richness of the dairy with the cherries. Oh, what a nice time.
Well,
of year.
Yeah, and
oh, what a
nice and if you wanted to make a sorbet, you know, you would just take your cooked cherry mixture with the tart juice in it and add the sugar straight away and probably a little more water, you know, to make it a little lighter for the sorbet and then churn it. I would still add the pepper, the pinch of salt, and just maybe the dash of almond and mm-hmm. just leave the milk out so you end up with sorbet.
Ah, see, there you go.
And I bet it would be a gorgeous color.
Good.
Yeah. Now we'll get this recipe. I'll type it all up. We'll put it on the Facebook page, and we can't put it on the radio page because the person that usually posts our radio recipes is off traveling.
Well, that's fine. He'll be back, okay. And we will catch up. It'll be just fine. And yes. That almond extract advice, it's good for pie.
Yes.
Too. Yes. Put a little drop of that in. Somehow that is a very good thing. I want to just kind of mention that thickening up your cherries for a pie. For years, I made fruit pies, and they were just runnier than all get out, and I didn't know what it was.
Right, you would never know, and here it would be burning on the bottom of the. My mother used to make apple pies all the time, and she finally came to the conclusion she never cooked one without putting a tray under it because one time we were cooking and the juice is running out of the oven down the wall.
Yes, yes. Here's some good advice for your cherries. Toss the fruit, 2 cups of fruit, cup of sugar, and you put your almond extract in there, and then 1/4 cup cornstarch, 1/2 teaspoon of salt in a bowl and let it sit for 25 minutes. It kind of soaks everything together and gets the juices going. And then strain that through a colander and take the juice from that colander, which has all the stuff in it, and cook it for a while until thick. Because it's got the cornstarch and or the tapioca flour.
It will thicken up.
That will help.
Well, once it boils, you don't have to keep cooking.
Right, right. There you go. Yeah. But anyway, that helps. That helps. We will come back with many good things because Donna has a wonderful book she wants to share. This is KHOI. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen Tasty Radio for the heart of Iowa. Welcome back. This is Donna Lana Kitchen. That was a tune called A Single Foot and Horse.
We're talking single foot and horse?
Single footin', as footin'. As a horse that is doesn't have a very good gait to it. It's like limping on one foot. I believe that refers to what that has to do with cherries. I don't know. But there's a tune for you. We are back. We are talking about summer fruit. Donna has a great new book to tell us about.
Yeah. So this book is by Abra Behrens. That's Berens. It's called Pulp, A Practical Guide to Cooking with Fruit. So she is Chicago and Michigan. She is a Midwestern chef. And, of course, since she, I think she worked at Zingingers or whatever that Michigan deli is that's so famous that does mail order and everything. Ooh. But it's a very foodie place. So she has written several books. This is her third, I think. And it's all about fruit.
Fruit.
And what I love about it is she does this. It teaches you how to think like a chef. Like when I get, okay, it's cherry season. What do I want to do with the cherries? I mean, obviously you can do a lot of things. You can put them in brandy. You can make pie is the obvious one. But, you know, all kinds of, besides ice creams and things like that, she... So she, at the beginning of the book, what she does is she calls it a baker's toolkit, right? So what she is doing is giving you not specific, she's giving you ideas and the base for it. Like she would give an ice cream base or I'm going to read you some of the things that she's gotten because she does batters, crepe batter, clafouti batter. Now we've talked about clafoutis. It's a French, I think south of France, Provençal recipe, which is basically, it doesn't have a crust. It's a custard that you bake the fruit in. And typically, I think the classic one might be cherries, actually, a cherry clafouti. I don't know, but you can use any kind of fruit. So she gives you the recipe for how to make a clafouti. And then you pick the fruit that's in season that you want to use. A cobbler, of course. A crepe batter. Dutch baby batter.
Now, I've made those before. This kind of a poofy, pancake-y thing.
Is that what it is?
Put it in a hot oven and things poof.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a fun recipe.
And muffin batters. And then crackers, which I never, they're too fussy for me. I never make them. Different kinds of crusts. Oh, and then under the doughs, she has a cream puff dough, which I love, scones, biscuit dough, phyllo dough. Never make your own phyllo dough. Sorry. pie dough, puff pastry dough, cakes, almond cake, angel food cake, cornbread cake, maple pudding cake. And then she goes into cookies, all kinds of, you know, things that you could put fruit in or go with fruit. Then she does crunchy stuff and toppings. Candied fennel seeds, candied nuts, honeycomb brittle. These are all like kind of basic techniques that you need to know. Okay, here's my favorite section. Creamy stuff. Creme brulee, custard, a fool, you know, the one with the whipped cream, pastry cream, panna cotta. In fact, I should make a cherry panna cotta while I'm on a roll here. A sabillon or a zabigone.
A what?
Zabbione. Or is that how you, it's the Italian version. And there's this, it's kind of like a pastry cream, basically, with the egg custard kind of thing. And then she goes, a syllabub she even has in here. Then frozen stuff. Okay. She's got, oh, curds. That's a good one to always remember. Like a cherry curd would be wonderful. Lemon curd is the most common and the one that you can probably buy at the grocery store. But like if you're ever in New Zealand, passion fruit curd is a really big deal over there. So she talks about basically curds are sugar and butter and egg yolks kind of. And they are a wonderful thing to make
anything extraordinary, then the frozen stuff, the ice cream base, the sherbet base, then meringues, which are wonderful with fruit, pie fillings. And she talks about the thing that Lana explained about how to, if you want to make sure your pie is not too juicy, you separate the juice and cook it down and then put it in the pie and then put the fruit on it. Then she's got puddings, syrups and things like, so that's the first like third of the book, maybe even only 25%. Then after that, part two is she goes through the individual fruits and, she's pretty thorough. She didn't have, what fruit did we say she didn't have? I can't remember. Well, she didn't have honey berries, that's for sure. But she has apples, apricots, blueberries, cherries. Okay.
Word of the day, folks.
Drupelet?
A drupelet berry. I have heard them called brambleberries before, but it's those, all those berries that are kind of made up of little lumps.
Like raspberries, like, blackberries.
Yeah, berries and blackberries.
Mulberries.
And mulberries.
The kinds that you have to pick your seeds out of your
droplets,
teeth.
Droplets.
Yeah, then she does
good
grapes.
Word. Write
she
that
does
down.
Do ground cherries. Which
I was
are,
absolutely
are,
pleased.
Lana
with the
and I are
cherries.
Huge fans of that. She does melons, nectarines, and peaches, pears, plums, quince, rhubarb, strawberries. Oh, and then tart round fruits, cranberries, currants, gooseberries, lingonberries, and autumn olive, which I don't even know what that one is. But so she covers quite a lot of.
So it's like a
reference book.
Yeah, you start out with this toolkit at the beginning because you probably already kind of know how to make a pie crust, or maybe you don't, but there it is. But underneath all of these different kinds of fruits, really good ideas, not just the usual sweet stuff, oh boy, an apple pie, or oh boy, a cherry pie, but there are savory recipes and how to put things into your,
like chutneys and things like that.
Evening meal, yeah. And cooking with fish and put it into a salad.
It is mostly desserts, though.
But
what I like about it is it, you know, you see the food and then you say, oh, what should I make? It's not like you're sitting down in your mind going, oh, what should I make for dessert for dinner tonight? It's like, okay, here, the reality is we are in cherry season. Now is the best time to eat your cherries. So you go to the cherry section and it helps you think of different things that you can do with cherries.
Yeah.
Rather than, you know, starting with, oh, I'm going to make a cherry pie. It's like, oh, we have cherries. Oh, next week we will have blueberries. By the way, out at the berry patch, they now have, let's see, blueberries, raspberries, gooseberries, and currants.
Yum.
So that's all in season right now.
So under cherries, there is a savory recipe for cherries, brined cherries with salty snacks. I mean, who would have thought? And you can also have a chocolate pudding with coffee-soaked black cherries, huh? Pretty good.
Oh, now, I might try soaking the cherries in coffee.
Ooh,
those are raw, it says.
Yeah, raw. Okay, baked savory cherry-baked brie with seedy crackers, huh? Or sweet, had a nice cherry pie recipe. Or you can grill your cherries. Savory buttermilk pork tenderloin and grilled cherry salad, huh? Or tart cherry syllabub. I love what a good word. Syllabub and smashed almond. Okay, here's a French word.
No, that's not. It's Italian, I think.
Frutti
ma buoni. Buoni?
Whatever.
Oh, boy, that's not my language.
Sounds
B-U-O-N-I. I think it's a dessert.
I think it is, too. But
let me look it up.
Fruit has got a savory or a raw or a something that you wouldn't think of. Because not every time you have a fruit doesn't mean you have to add sugar and go from there. You can just get all kind of good things from it. What did you
find? Okay, here's the tart cherry syllabub and smashed almond brutti ma buoni, whatever.
It says, syllabub is an easy old-fashioned dessert that can be made in advance for a party. I make this with sweet vermouth, liking the bitterness, but sherry or sweet wines are more traditional. Feel free to use any sort. Oh, so those, the almond bruti, blah, 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 are some kind of cookie. Feel free to use any sort of cookie crumble here. But since the cherry pits are used to make almond extract, cherries and almonds are always natural. That's what I thought. Okay. Yeah. Cherry pits have an almond flavor. Okay. So for the syllabub, it says 2 cups of tart cherries pitted. Oh, and then 1 cup of the syllabub, which is on page 90. See, this is how this works. So the syllabub is sweet sherry or masala, sugar, brandy, rum or brandy, 2 lemons, and, oh yes, of course, heavy cream. Syllabubs are the same light and creamy dessert category where sabayons and fools tend to hang out. A syllabub is different than a sabayon and is in that there is no egg, only wine and citrus flavoring the sweetened cream. It's different from a fool, which is plain whipped cream with equal parts of fruit and I see. Okay, because I've never made a syllabub. The fool is you make the whipped cream, then you have the fruit, and sometimes you make a cake in bites or, you know, things that you mix into.
Layer it or
kind of like that. Hopefully in a beautiful clear glass bowl so you can see the layers. So a syllabub is much more like a custardy thing with the fruit in it. So there you go. That's what you do with it. Huh. I mean, her standard recipes, I of course have some of my own standard recipes and they're a little different. Some of mine are the same and some of them are different and you may have yours too. But the book is just a great kind of inspiration. Kind of a handy reference tool, like you're going, oh, it's apple season, these look great, what do we do?
Yeah, I was inspired. I actually opened this recipe book and it had recipes for ground cherries. What a good idea. Ground cherries are these little yellow, related to tomato, but tastes more like, I've heard it tastes like apricot and pineapple together.
That's a good description. Yeah. And they do have a little husk on them, like husk, a tomatillo. Yeah. You also probably can't buy those at the store. You have to grow them yourself.
And once you get going, they're actually easy to grow because mm-hmm. ground cherries are actually a native...
No pits.
A native prairie plant, actually, but they've been... bred to be bigger than they would be in a
prairie. They're like light yellow colored. Usually.
Light yellow, the mm-hmm. golden. Here is a great recipe. Cashew cauliflower with ground cherry glaze and thyme is a garlic aioli sort of.
T-O-U-M. Okay.
Yeah, that, she's got the recipe for that too. But just the idea of roasting ground cherries. Like most fruits, ground cherries benefit from being roasted hot and fast in a blazing pan with enough space to evaporate the juices. They break down into a syrupy sauce when roasted at a lower temperature. For ease of preparation, utilize a hot oven to roast the fruit. Okay. Cook your cauliflower. Drizzle a whole head of cauliflower with olive oil. Place the ground cherries in the bottom of a large oven-proof fry pan. Looks like you just got a cast iron pan. Top with the cauliflower, cover with aluminum foil, and roast in the oven for 25 minutes. Pull out of the oven, remove the foil. The ground cherries should be softened and released a lot of liquid. Spoon that liquid over the cauliflower to glaze and scatter cashews over the cauliflower and return to the oven and roast for 15 to 20 minutes. Oh, very good. And then you can take the cauliflower out to reduce the ground cherry roasted to make a little syrupier. And then you can make this thyme alongside for dipping, which is a garlic creamy sauce. Doesn't that sound good?
And it is nice combination of flavors.
And it's not a sugary thing. But the ground cherries would
be they are sweet. They're not super sweet, but they're sweet.
See, So I learn new things, and this is a...
Don't you make a ground cherry jelly? Jam.
Yes, ground cherry jam is lovely, and... Actually, she has a recipe for it in here. Ground cherries make a really good chutney kind of thing, too. They cook down well and take up flavors of, turmeric and curries. And, yeah, there's that kind of thing that'd be done, too. So expand your view of
fruit. Here it is. Super grilled cheese sandwiches with ground cherry chutney.
Ground cherry chutney. Yeah. See? New stuff all the time, and... They'll probably make a cherry chutney. I don't know, Donna. It'd probably be good.
Oh, she's got one in here that she serves with pork tenderloin, maybe, or something like that. I don't know. Oh, yeah.
Good. Well, you're listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen, and you can find out more information at www.khoifm.org. Welcome back. We are talking about a great new book. The book is called Pulp, P-U-L-P.
A Practical Guide to Cooking with Fruit by Abra Behrens, B-E-R-E-N-S.
We're just inspired.
Well, yeah, and like her, we totally agree that if you have your fruit in season, nothing tastes better. I mean, we are all used to buying strawberries anytime we want and blueberries any time of the year. But nothing tastes like local, in-season, fresh-picked fruit. So when you have it is really the time to eat. Like, we're doing everything cherry right now. We're also blueberry season is coming on.
Mm-hmm.
And the currants, which I love black currants. So I really go all out for black currant. And what else? Oh, gooseberries. I think I've got gooseberries in my garden this year, but I think...
Good. Oh, you probably... the deer always eat my gooseberries.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing about the gooseberries that's a bit daunting and puts me off is, of course, you have to pick the heads and the tails off of them. It's really nothing. Actually, it's nothing compared to pitting cherries, you know, really.
Everything in perspective.
Yeah, exactly. So rhubarb is just about done and gone. You know, it's a season. It comes and we're on the roll through the fruit season. And of course, I love vegetables, but I love fruit. There's no such thing as too much fruit. And of course, if you have it good, fresh and local and let it get really ripe, you know, and it hasn't traveled 1,000 miles from somewhere else, you can use a lot less sugar.
Right, right. Oh, also, getting back to our word for the day, drupel, D-R-U-P-L-E, drupel berries. Drupelet.
D-R-U-P-E-L-E-T. Drupelet berries.
That's the berries like raspberries and blackberries.
The seeded ones.
Seeded ones, yes. At my farm, I'm having... Well, my husband is having good luck with the first picking of black raspberries. They grow wild in the Iowa woods. Surprise, surprise. So if you're taking a walk in the woods, you just may find some. And yes, they are bigger this year than some years are small and seedy. They're still seedy, but they're bigger and they're lovely. I love black raspberries.
Yeah, they have a really nice.
I love black raspberries this time of year, and usually you have to fight the mosquitoes. It's not too bad. I mean, yes, there's mosquitoes, but not too
bad. Now, do those go on and on like raspberries do?
Yeah, they will last quite a while because they come out in little clumps, but only one berry usually in a clump ripens first. So
and the wild ones are not as big as the cultivated ones that you sometimes see at fruit stands and things like that. Bad news, though, I read, this was actually in the New York Times, it's that bad. Peach season in Georgia is going to be a bust this year.
Peaches?
Oh, peaches. Peaches are my favorite. I love peaches. Oh, my goodness. You know, you start with, like, right now we're getting California peaches here in the Midwest. I mean, peaches don't usually grow very well in Iowa. You see a rare good peach tree now and then. But so we kind of go through our seasons. It starts in California, then comes the Georgia, and then the Carolinas, and then the Missouri peaches. We don't know how they'll be. And then finally the Colorado peaches. So each kind of, you know, they come in a succession. Thank goodness. So it makes the season a little bit longer. Right now I am having some California white peaches that I find were quite good. But in Georgia, they had a fairly warm winter, but peaches do need a bit of cold, you know, like an apple tree does too. And then it was March, and then we had the cold weather. So what happened in Georgia apparently was they got the cold snap right during the blossom time. We all know what happens to apples when that happens. Mm-hmm. So in according to the New York Times, 95% of the crop is a dead loss, which means we won't have that many, and peaches will be expensive this year.
Oh, Lordy.
I won't be canning any, probably.
Oh,
I still have to eat them, you know. But,
oh, yes.
Yeah.
Thank goodness, peaches.
So strawberry season was affected here in Iowa the same way, more or less, because the blossoms... Well, I don't know if it was a temperature thing or I think Judy Henry was telling me that when they, and this was a concern for all of their fruit, the time when they have trucked in beekeepers bring in bees to stay up for the summer to pollinate everything, and the pollination period was chilly and the bees were not flying around too much.
Ooh.
So we'll see. But that did, something affected the strawberries, so strawberry season wasn't good. However, plum season looks possible this year, and blueberries are looking good, and the apples, we don't know yet. We'll see.
We shall see. So there are the you picks and the local pick your own, and you pick stuff off the back of in your garden if you happen to have a fruit tree. But here's a little bit of advice or a little bit of thought from Abra Behrens from this book Pulp, the book about cooking with fruit. And like Donna said, she's from Michigan cherry country, so she wants to say a little bit about. Here's a little thing that she says about. Most of our fruit comes via grocery stores, and growing fruit as an industry is a whole ball of wax here. It's helpful to understand a bit about what goes into food production, to understand why and how a particular product comes to market, how everything from climate collapse, changes in immigration policy, infrastructure, it all affects things. She's like I said, she's from the cherry heartland, and she says there's a vast difference in how farms and orchards are organized depending on whether a grower sells fruit on the fresh or commodity market. Trees need to be planted and pruned differently. The market dictates volume and diversity. A farmer can grow a lot of one thing that sells for a low price or be a specialty producer. Almost no one does both. Then this leads to decisions about infrastructure and equipment. Additionally, specific to the food industry are a lot of auxiliary businesses that are integral to how fruit is grown. We don't always think of items like wine, canned pie filling, or baby food as being agricultural products, but when the main ingredient is 100% fruit, you bet your blueberries that the end product is an agricultural product and affected by things that happen on the farm. So You haven't heard the last of this book. I think this book about fruit is going to kind of show up again, don't you think?
It's handy. It's a handy-dandy book there.
Very good. Very good.
Nice pictures, too, by the way.
Oh, very good. Oh, I also heard that we have bummer news. The citrus crop is not doing too well in Florida.
This has been ongoing. There's that thing called citrus greening, which is a fungus that they haven't figured out. So Florida has lost a lot of trees. California has lost some. And then on top of that, the last tornado season, that whatever that one was, hurricane in Florida took out a lot of citrus trees. And
so I think, you know, what goes on in the whole world kind of depends on, kind of shows up on what shows up on our plate. And we'll keep talking about these things, too. Yes, we will. So we've talked about this good recipe book. I'd like to mention that we have another book we'd like to recommend here. Don and I have been reading this great book by Chris Jones.
Yeah, it's Chris Jones, so it's called The Swine Republic, Struggles with the Truth About Agriculture and Water Quality. This is, he's in Iowa. He worked in various aspects of, I believe, is he a chemical engineer? His last job was kind of reading the, you know, we had a monitoring system in various waterways around to measure nitrates, and mm-hmm. his job was to kind of read those machines that were collecting the data and putting it together, and he started writing a blog about it. So it's all in this book called The Swine Republic, and it really talks about why we have water quality problems in Iowa.
Right. You will be hearing more about this book and hopefully more from Chris Jones. We hope to have him on as our guest later in the season into the fall, because this is it's a book that there's a lot of things that need to be said about agriculture and water and what are we doing to ourselves here in the state of Iowa. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yes. The Swine Republic, Chris Jones.
Another upcoming thing here, the KHOI Community Radio is going to present a presentation called Honey Wine from the Creek, Honey Wine from Creek Waters with Aja Lyons, Wednesday, June 28th, 7 p.m., right here at the station. And we'll see what Aja Lyons has to say, Wednesday, June 28th. Yes, very good. Donna, well, we are here on this radio station. We are here once a week, but we also have a podcast. Tell folks how they can find
our podcast. Right. If you want to hear basically the same content in a podcast format at your convenience, go to wherever you like your podcast, because we're kind of on all of them, and type in Donna Lana, which is one word, DonnaLonna, separate word, kitchen, and there it will pop up right for you.
Very good. You've been listening to the Donna Lana Kitchen. You can find us here Tuesdays at noon, repeated 7 p.m. or anytime. You can go to the khoifm.org web page and find out more about us, more about this radio station, and also you can download and stream things and put us on your device and enjoy. Thanks for being with us today. We've had music today by the Barn Owl Band. You've heard Single Foot and Horse, Lady Be Good, and Spootis Carey. My name is Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Fine Engineering by Mike Murphy. Eat good food and enjoy life.